Now, if you're just tuning in wondering what we're up to, we're featuring an interview with Geraldine Hollett. And she is one of the members of the Newfoundland trio who call themselves The Ones. And we'll return to our discussion with Geraldine Hollett right now. And I'm talking with Geraldine about how they arrange their songs. And I get a couple of thoughts cross my mind, and they are, one, you folks have a theatrical background, which is a whole other set of artistic skills. And boy, if you step back and listen and watch and observe and see what's going on, both listening to CDs and seeing you live in person, you can see how these have kind of worked their way through, knit their way through what it is you do. And secondly, when I reflect upon where you've been and where you are, I mean, when I go back to those days that Rick Barron introduced me, when Rick introduced me to you, you know, you were, your harmonies were fantastic. They were a standout for sure. It's I'm sure, one of the main attractions. But you were covering lots of other people's songs. And here today, you've come a long way. So now you're virtually writing everything yourselves, and you've put the heart and soul of each of you together and are just doing a fine job here. I mean, it's a wonderful thing to watch your transition.
And it has been a transition, too. Holy man. And like, I remember in our first album, it's like, well, we're only doing this because somebody gave us money, and that's really sweet, so let's do it. Our family will buy this album, and then, you know, maybe I will go back to engineering school. We'll see what happens. And then, you know what I mean? And, like, we just basically put the songs we knew on the record. I think there was one, we arranged a lot back then, and that was, you know, the harmony and the arrangements. That's what we had going for us. Like, we had no idea that the band would continue forward, would win several awards, that Borealis Records would pick it up. It was just like, wait now, we don't know who we are. Or didn't even consider that we had to be something, you know?
Yeah.
And then, so the last 10 years have been a discovery, just trying to figure out, well, what do we want to talk about? What do we want to sing about? What
exactly.
Do, you know? So in every album, you can see more and more writing, punctuating the albums until we kind of take over. And even in Departures, we got two covers. And I, honestly, back then, I didn't want them anymore. I was like, I don't want any more covers. I'm done with it. Uh-huh. But it made sense to do those two, so we're like, fine. And, you know, you still don't believe that people are paying attention to you.
Yeah, until they show up in crowds and your performances.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And so it's like, nobody's going to care if we play this song. Nobody's going to care if we play this. You know, you just... You know, and I'm just starting to realize 10 years in, it's like, no, people really, really love this music. And they love Sunny's Dream, and they love the You're My Best Friend, and they love I Can't Live Without You. You know, I can't, countless weddings have used those two songs in particular. Not Sunny's Dream.
Interesting.
But like our version and stuff, and you know, they're, you know, we've gotten people getting engaged to those songs on stage. You know what I mean? Like it's... Or in the audience. So, I mean, they have... I'm really glad that there's something we did. Say, like, You're My Best Friend. We put it out, and it made its way into a South Korean show. And that's the reason that that video has over 2 million views, is because made it into the top 100 in the South Korean charts a few years ago.
Oh,
so, I mean, it is worth doing those things.
No kidding.
But then you're like, but I really want to get past that because I want people to look at our music. Mm-hmm. And I want them to see that what we got going, you know... is worth listening to and listening to over and over, so it becomes part of your daily headspace, your soundtrack for your day. Mm-hmm. And I do think our songs can be that, because, I mean, that's how we write them, with that in mind. There's always a character, talking about the theatrical thing, there's always a character in every one of these songs, whether we describe them or not, like we are thinking about, and we force ourselves to think about who that is, whether it's ourselves or somebody else that we're, you're observing.
You're in a very, very tough business, as you know. And here we are over a decade has gone. I can't believe that much time's gone by since I first heard you. But, you know, you the validation continues to come. And you must feel good about that.
I do. And the older I get, the more I don't need it.
Yeah.
took a long time. It's like, okay, well, you know, we'll never be a hit band. That's okay, because our fans are amazing, and they keep coming out, and we have repeat offenders that come to our shows, and they just make us feel like we're a big team together. It's really weird.
Very cool.
But everywhere, but we haven't gotten to a point either where it's like we can't be ourselves. You know, we don't have to sell ourselves short. We don't have to sell out. You know, we don't have to feel like we're competing with anyone. We don't compete with anyone.
Well, and you don't need to. And the fact of the matter is that you've picked up fans all over the world. I mean,
all over the world.
You've traveled.
Yeah.
Holy cow, I've lost track of how everywhere. Far and wide you have traveled. Didn't
all
you just do a UK tour not
UK,
long ago?
Yeah, and we're heading back over to UK and Europe. We're doing Australia in the new year. Like wow. And, you know, working our way into Asia and stuff. And I just can't wait to, you know, and like, every now and again, like, on the tour, there's somewhere we haven't been yet. And that's why I got into this in the first place. Like, I need enough money to make this make sense. And I want to travel the world. I want to see. And the place, like, we just got back from Torngat Mountains. I got to spend a week in Torngat Mountains. Like, it's close to home, but it's so far removed from who we are.
In Labrador,
and it's just like it makes you recognize how much the media sensationalizes who these people are.
Mm-hmm.
They're just normal and fun, great people, but we make the world seem to be so, like, it has to be shocking now. Everything has to be shocking now.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and then you spend a week there with people who are from the community or people that just love the community. And you just discover that it's just fun and good, and social media is tearing our guts apart,
tearing
our mind out, and really confusing it like a bad drug. I'm not. I worry about it a lot, because having a week, just 1 week without social media last week, it was like...
Nice.
It's like, I forgot. And then you think, there are kids now, not to get on this, but there are kids now that have never not had that.
Correct.
So how do they compare it? They can't. I almost forgot, but you almost forget anyway. It's really weird.
There are kids today whose whole world experience is virtual. They don't know what to do in the real world.
Yeah, because it's a facsimile. It's not even the same thing. It's not even close to the
same
thing.
No, it's not. Ooh, it's terrifying.
Not reality at all. Yeah.
It's terrifying.
It's not. Well, it's sad, too.
Well, like, it's sad, too.
It's sad because they don't get it, and they don't get the pure joy that you can feel.
Well, Jerry, I say terrifying because these are tomorrow's leaders, and if this is the experience they're coming from, that's terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
There was a wonderful film that Shirley Montague showed at Trails, Tales, and Tunes on that very subject, about the impact of social media and the computer upon kids growing up today. And as I say, it's terrifying. Anyway, sorry, this is a music show. I guess I'd better get back before my audience shoots me. Can we turn to a couple? Why don't you take a look at a couple of tracks we haven't talked about that you found challenging to arrange, and we'll play them. We'll spin those as well.
Well, we kind of talked about the ones that were challenging to arrange, but... let's talk Leave Me Lover and Before the Fall. Say.
Okay.
Those were tougher. They're a little bit tougher. Those were two of Phil's contributions when it came to, like, because he brought those to the table. So the arrangements were pretty much done in his mind. And I remember him struggling with it, because I live with Phil, so him struggling with it at home and being in that room, in the studio room for hours and hours and hours on one piece, which is very heady for somebody. So I wish he could explain it himself. But just witnessing that, because when you get, okay, you got a song like Leave Me Lover that kind of seems like it doesn't really have a chorus. It kind of has a whole lot of bridges shoved together. It's like, how do you arrange that? Like, do you just try and force it into something else, or do you just say, well, this is what I got, and this is how it sounds good, so do I just let it stay that way? And eventually it's like, man, it sounds good the way it is. There's some kind of with the two songs in the early days, there was kind of like an early Neil Young feel to, like, say Before the Fall or Leave Me Lover, and it was just, I don't know if it stayed that way at all when we got to the studio, because we are trying to make things that are a little bit different, but just something simple, talking about simple things, like simple ideas. Say Leave Me Lover is about being with somebody forever and then trying to find just, okay, well, you know, you know me enough, you trust me enough, now take me into the depths of who you are. Tell me about the things that you've only mentioned a little bit to me now, because we've been together enough that it's time to get those out. Right. And, you know, it doesn't have a standard first chorus, first chorus, first chorus. So how do you structurally find that? And but when it comes to, like, arranging and what instruments put on there, it's like, well, you know, there's a lot of electric guitar on this album. There's a lot of horns. Like, how do you choose that? It's like, well, if the genesis of the song had a lot of electric guitar, do you take it away because the ones aren't electric, because Phil is, or do you change it to make it a little airier or fluffier? Or if you do go electric, how do you play with that? Do you add even more things that are not who we are, but that everybody in the band can play, like keys? You know what I mean? Like, Andrew did all the drums for the record, you know? These aren't things that we play on stage, but these are things that all the guys can play everything. Like, all the horns were done in-house. Keys were done in-house. The only thing we got outside was, I think it was a bass clarinet and a harp, because we didn't know how to do that. But I tell you, if you gave it to the boys for 10 minutes, they would do it.
Where did you find Ian Sherwood?
That's Dan Level. He knows.
Okay.
He's like, do you mind if I get him in? It's like, yeah, yes, sure. No, God, do it.
Yeah, because that's exactly where I was going to go next. I was going to ask you who, in addition to yourselves, did you elect to put on here, and how did that come about? Well, I guess you've answered that in part, and Danny Ledwell, I guess, pulled some of the artists on here.
Yeah, well. And, you know, but, you know, we picked, you know, Dan Lovell himself helped with the horns, and he did some backing vocals on some lives, and so did Jen Grant.
Mm-hmm. That's his wife, is it not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, like, he's been doing this for God knows how long at this point, so he has a lot of people that he can call and that he really trusts, especially with, you know, he really considers the sound and how it's going and who would fit that sound. He's pretty incredible that way.
Is that part of your PEI connection, Dan Ledwell and
Jen?
And Jen?
No.
Jen Grant?
No. Okay. Met him later in life. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
No. The PEI connection is Phil and Sammy used to go there a long time ago as kids for family vacation. And then his brother and sister and his mom and us said, well, it's too expensive to do vacations there, because we tried to get together because everybody lives so far apart. So we tried to get together in the summers, and it would cost so much money. We're like, you know, houses over here are pretty cheap. It'd be easy for
they
us
are.
To get a cabin over here and do it, right?
Yeah, well, you're
especially,
right.
Especially, and it just worked out that way.
Ron Hunz used to do something like that, too. You know, there was a time when Ron hung out in PEI. I'm not sure if it was exactly the same reasons as you did, but he certainly hung out there for a good while and did some of his work over there as well.
Oh, yeah. Festival of Small Halls is what pulled us in there again.
Ah, no kidding. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
and
magic.
So it was the first time I had gone there. It was because of Festival of Small Halls. And then in 1 year, all my life I hadn't been there. And in 1 year, I've been there. I was there four times doing shows.
Yeah. I've seen you guys there.
On vacation. Yeah?
Yep. At Dundas, I think that was the last time I saw you there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. A couple of years back.
And now it's one of those places that we can't wait to go to, and the people are just kind, and
yes.
I don't know.
It's wonderful. Debbie Atkinson and her crowd do a superb job, and every year I spend 2 hours with Debbie going over the festival. It's wonderful. And she's as hospitable a person as you'll find in Newfoundland. Home of hospitality.
Canada is the home of hospitality. Newfoundland is great, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying, but We've been all over Canada. There's only, I'm not going to mention the provinces that I had bad experiences because it's just, I haven't been there enough and it's probably not a good representation, but everywhere in Canada gives you the most love and respect. It's not just Newfoundland. There's something different about island life. I will
there
say
is.
That.
Yes, there is.
There is definitely something there and there's more of an embrace.
Yeah.
But the kindness is all over Canada.
Yes, I'm sure you're right. Like you, I've been across this country and I would highly endorse what you've said. Let's take a listen to Before the Fall and Lead Me Love and we'll come right back. There's more to come.
You're listening to Sounds Atlantic with Ron Moores. I'm Matthew Byrne, a traditional singer and guitarist from St. John's, Newfoundland. I'm a solo performer, and I'm also lead singer and bouzouki player with the Dardanelles. If you're a fan of great folk and traditional music, you'll find it here, where Ron is dusting off old gems, as well as showcasing what's new and exciting to East Coast folk.
It's of the victory of the Nile. Once more we'll make Britannia smile.
All that you would trade to have it all. underground begin beneath the city that we don't even live in.
That's Lead Me Love, and we backed it with Before the Fall, and they are once his compositions, and they come from Time Enough, when we're talking about this new project that the Once has on the go. I'm talking with Geraldine Hollett from Corner Brook. My goodness, that's the first time I think you and I have talked from Corner Brook.
It is.
It probably won't be the last.
It definitely won't be the last.
All right, now here's a track on here. I really love the lyric here. Speak to us about Foreign Shore.
Foreign Shore. About losing, letting people go. I'm pretty sure Andrew wrote this about his dad. We were there. His dad passed away a few years ago, and I remember we came out to visit, and his brother was looking down at him, and I came in. And I noticed that he wasn't breathing anymore, and I looked at Chris and I said, he's not breathing, or something. I can't remember exactly what I said, but we both acknowledged that he had passed on while everybody was there.
Oh, my.
And then, of course, he mentioned it, and then everybody, you know, got upset, but everybody was together and kind, and people were laughing and talking about Timbits and foolish stuff. I don't know why that's what I can remember. And then everybody just gave their hugs and their goodbyes, and he just slipped away within all the laughter. And I thought that was such a beautiful thing. And I'm pretty sure that's what Andrew wrote it about. And Andrew's very keen, and all of us are. We're very aware of dying, and that we got a little bit of time here, and that's it.
Yeah,
and
right.
So we all try to do the best that we can with the time we got. We really are aware of it.
Yep.
And so and it's just letting people know that we know that, as far as I can gather. Yeah. And we know that, and to really embrace. I don't think people feel blessed enough in their life, and I think there's a lot of people that just don't know how to feel good about their lot in life.
I would say amen my dad, to that.
My dad used to say, do what makes you happy, even that means you're a dump truck driver, just, you know, mm-hmm. you know, really know what your blessings are.
Yep.
And I think we're all raised, you know, hearing the stories over the last 10 years, I'm pretty sure we were raised differently, but very similarly in that way. We all know the pressures in life, and we all know that we can be the best that we can be, and we're all pushed to be that, and to just really acknowledge what it is that we are here for, which is, I think, to do the best that we can with the time we got.
Amen.
Which sounds like a cliche, but when you start following it, and knowing that we don't know how it's going to go, there's a lot of things that we can't plan for. Being able to go around with it, like setting sail without a compass on some distant foreign shore, we're clueless. But we got to be okay with that. Like, let the control go.
It's a good philosophical view that you've expressed, and it comes out cleanly in Foreign Shore. Here it is.
We are dying from the moment we are born. Setting sail without a compass to some distant foreign shore. Moving forward, but always looking back. Seeking all that we are and all that we inside a memory and dwell upon the past. Take a path of least resistance, 'cause it all goes by too fast. Will you cradle faith within your arms, but leave it all to chance? Will you choose to sit it out, or will you choose the day? forward, but always
Hi, I'm Geraldine Hollett from The Once. You're listening to my lovely friend, Ron Morris.
Grease, fill up your mind. I hope you do not cry.
That's for sure. Some philosophical notes and views and perspectives from The Once. And you're coming our way, I think. I think Phil said that at some point in time, you're going to come to the nation's capital anyway, at somewhere down in the fall, maybe?
Oh, yeah, we'll be there in the fall. God, I was looking at it online today. Our website is theonce.ca. But I'm pretty sure in November we're going to be at the Petite Campus.
At the Petite Campus?
Yeah.
I'm not sure I know where
Montreal.
That is. Oh, in Montreal.
It's our third time being there.
But yeah. You're coming to Ottawa as well.
Oh, in Ottawa. Oh, yeah. NAC.
NAC, yeah. That's what I thought.
Yeah. November as well.
I thought yeah. We'll have to look out for you and let everybody know in our listening area. And we'll do that as we approach November, I guess. All right.
Uh-huh.
Let's see. My goodness, we're running out of tracks. I think we've got... where was it going to go? Oh, I know.
Any
Other Way, yes.
Sunlight.
Yeah, Any Other Way. Where did we go there? Just speak to us about Any Other Way.
Any Other Way is a simple love song. It's just, guys, and with the whole, you know, the way life is, like, our relationships are tough. It's probably easier for us to break up, but even though it's harder to stick around, let's see where we can take this. Let's stick around, get through it, so we can be on the other side of it looking back and feeling really good about ourselves. And that's what basically all that song's about. It's simple, easy. It's got a really nice beat and a whole lot of yeah. I think we're seriously inspired by Tom Petty in that song, because when he passed away, it broke us a bit. We're all huge fans of Tom Petty.
Really?
And so it just made sense. Oh, yeah, Tamri lived in Departures, too. It's like, Buzz, we should sell this to Tom Petty. It's like, because we love him so much, like so much of his work comes out in us. It's just,
very
speaking
cool.
Through us somehow.
in memory of Tom Petty, here is Any Other Way.
If you can no longer see, if I was alone and lost in the woods, would you come find me? Oh, would you come and find me? It takes a lot to leave. It takes much more to stay.
Stare down the sky and find me.
Any other way, it's from Time Enough, and we've run out of time. We have one track left, and I'm saving this for last. It's not one that you guys wrote. It's one rather that Tim Baker from Hey Rosetta wrote. And just for everybody's information, Hey Rosetta, I guess is taking a bit of a break, or has been on break since October of last year, October 17th.
And
tell us about this song and why you've selected this one rather than any others you could have put on there.
Well, because it was written for us.
Ah.
And with us in mind. And so Phil's mom passed away a couple of years ago. And shockingly, it was so unexpected.
Wow.
She was in Sweden.
She's lost both
Sweden.
Parents.
Yeah. So Sweden, she had a heart aneurysm, I believe.
Oh, my.
I don't know what the technical term is.
Right.
And so we had to, took forever to get her home. It was a nightmare in a lot of ways. And, but, I mean, so many people are so amazing and were so kind. Tim being one of them, Tim wrote and said to Phil, he said, I'd be lying if I didn't say that I wrote this with you and your mom in mind. Barely think of it.
Pretty special.
And of course, yeah, and then we heard it. The arrangement was there. Everything was there. And we just said, yeah, absolutely. That'll go on the album. And it's just one of those songs about feeling somebody even though they're not there. It's like, I know this is impossible, but it's not impossible, goddammit, because I'm feeling it. You know, I feel a hand and I feel something warm, and I feel a presence, you know. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily like I look over and I see it, but you just, the memory is so strong of the presence, somehow you can feel it, and it's about acknowledging that and just finding comfort in it. And so it was really a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful gift, and it says goodbye at the end, so it was a great way to end the record.
Oh, well, it's appropriate we go out with it. I don't know where the time went, but I do want to thank you ever so much, Geraldine, for taking the time to do this. I know it's a whole big whack of time, and I really do appreciate your doing this, but I feel so fortunate that you are able to take the time and walk us through these lovely tracks and a terrific album, and yeah, you all can be very proud of this. Great talking with you, as always, and look forward to seeing you in November.
It is my absolute pleasure, and I can't wait to see you. Squat you. I'll give you a squeeze.
A squeeze.
There's a quality of light when the day is dying, when the day is dying. It's the blue, black, and white of my true love's eyes, of my true love's eyes. I see you in the trees and in the heaving sea, in the heaving sea. I feel you lean against me in the fire's heat, in the fire's heat. You are with me now, I can feel you here somehow. Love, you're always with me, and all the distance can't come between And though I cannot touch you, you know I got you next to me. Oh,
Stockwood, and you're listening to Sounds Atlantic with the lovely Ron Moores.
My skin down to my soul like it's always been.
Well, that's the conclusion of our first Sounds Atlantic podcast here, folks. Hope you've enjoyed our interview with Geraldine Holland of The Once and our track-by-track coverage of their new album release, Time Enough. Do tune in next week when PEI singer-songwriter Ashley Condon will be here to preview and showcase her latest release titled Can You Hear Me? And if you have any comments, I'd be delighted if you'd send them along either on Facebook or to my website at www.ronmoores.com or via email to ron@ronmoores.com. Until then, I'm your host, Ron Moores, urging you to keep on the sunny side. Thanks so much for listening and hope to see you back here next week.